Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Welcome back to Thunderbird Eye. I'm your host, Nanaki Sangha, and today we have a really awesome episode for you guys. I am super excited to get this one started today. It's been a very eventful last couple of weeks. Me personally, there's been like so much going on. Firstly, I'm just gonna plug this now, literally this show. If you or anyone you know would like to join Sport Collective, please do. You can reach out to me on email at sports@citr.ca or Instagram at citrsports. And yeah, you can get involved in absolutely any capacity. If you want to talk on air or share ideas, everybody is welcome. Also, go check out Shindig. It is CITR's Battle of the Bands competition, and the finals are going to be held next Tuesday starting at 8 p.m. at Red Gate. And you can find all the details about that on the Instagram for Fanta Records. Okay, moving on for the plan for today's episode. We're going to talk about the UBC Thunderbirds and their sports updates, followed by a small Canucks update because I have to. And I'm really trying to see a game next week. I've been really excited about their season, so we'll see if I can make that happen. After that, I have a really exciting couple of interviews that took place earlier this week. The first one will be with Rachel Mortimer from UBC's women's cross-country team following their U Sports victory from just last week. And the second interview will be with Jason from the Sport for You Project, which is a UBC kinesiology student initiative program that he started. So we'll just get to talk to both of them and hear what they have to say. And then we'll circle back to me again and I'll let you know about the upcoming schedule for UBC Thunderbird home games to go check out in the next couple weeks. I am also going to start this little segment in this first episode today where I kind of talk about media that has to do with sports. Personally, I'm really into music, movies, and things like that, and they're so connected to sport, and it actually relates to one of the classes I'm taking right now in my kin degree. So I've had a lot of inspiration around that, and yeah, I'm super excited to start that little segment today as well. So that's the plan for today. I feel like a school teacher, but yeah, let's just get right into it. Let's get into some UBC sport updates. Let's start off with swimming. After 22 events and a three-day competition, the UBC Thunderbird women were crowned the 2023 Canada West Swimming Champions inside the University of Calgary Aquatic Center. On the women's side, the winning victory was from earning 1,000.5 points, while the Calgary women came in second with 857.5 points. There were too many podium wins to mention, but the first place victories on the women's side were from Greta Golias in the 200 fly, Bridget Burton in the 100 back, Cameron Stannard in 400 free, and the 4x100 medley relay from the team of Bridget Burton, Eloise Allen, Celoist, and Rose Garcia. This victory means the UBC women claimed their 13th banner in the last 14 years, which is a very impressive record. And UBC's Derek Shoof was named the Conference Women's Coach of the Year for the fourth time in his career. For the men's swimming team, the Calgary Dinos men finished the meet with 970 points, earning them the victory, while UBC placed second with 733 points. They earned a gold in the 400 men's medley relay with the team of Hugh McNeil, Ethan Hemion, Sue Lunho, and Jack Gaunt. Olivier Risk of UBC was named the men's rookie of the year after winning the 1500 meter freestyle, taking third in the 400 meter freestyle, also scoring in the 200 meter free. Finally, Hugh McNeil took the gold medal in the 100 meter backstroke. So congratulations for both their teams ending on great notes. For volleyball, we'll start with the women's. University of Fraser Valley Cascades, who have had a record of 7 wins, 3 losses this season, came out victorious over the number one ranked UBC Thunderbirds, who have 9 wins and now 1 loss on Saturday in Abbotsford. The two teams battled all night to 5 sets, ending with UBC taking their first loss of the year. Lucy Borowski led the Thunderbirds with 20 kills and 19 digs on the night. Claire Cosarini posted 7 blocks, and Izzy Roberts-Shaw had 40 assists. For the men's side, the UBC Thunderbirds defeated University of Fraser Valley Cascades in straight sets 3-0, which has now improved their record for 6 wins, 4 losses for the season. Player highlights for UBC would go to Reeve Gingera, had a match best 14 kills, while James Vincent posted 5 aces and Logan Greaves had 13 digs. Yeah, that is going to be volleyball. They're very much in the middle of their season currently, so we'll be getting more updates on them next episode as well. Men's basketball, the UBC Thunderbirds fell short to the Victoria Vikes, who won the game 70-58. UBC did hold Victoria to their lowest scoring performance of this season, but shot just 29% from the field and 39% from the free throw line, which just wasn't enough. Fun fact, and I think I'm going to start dropping fun facts anywhere I can to just share random Nanaki lore, but randomly I had the privilege and honor of being the senior basketball boys team manager when I was in the 10th grade. Yeah, my dad was the coach and my brother was the captain on the team, so shout out to them, and that was really fun. It was honestly like a family event every single game, so that's cool. For the UBC Thunderbirds, though, James Wood led the Thunderbirds with 21 points and 10 rebounds for his first double-double of the season. Brian Wallach also double-double with 15 points and 11 boards, while Adam Olsen added 10 points and 7 rebounds off the bench. This loss, unfortunately, drops UBC's record to 4 wins, 4 losses for the season so far. And it was the third home game of the season, while now they're on the road for away games for us the rest of this 2023 year. So no more home games to watch, but they'll be back in January in War Memorial Gym. For women's basketball, the UBC Thunderbirds defeated the Victoria Vikes 72-52 in their most recent game. Olivia Weeks led the team with a double-double, finishing with 22 points and 11 rebounds, while Haley Council added 18 points off the bench, and Sarah Tonguzzi contributed 13 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists. With this win, UBC's record has improved to 6 wins, 2 losses in the CanWest division. Let's talk about hockey. On the women's side, the UBC Thunderbirds skated to a 4-1 victory over the University of Calgary Dinos at UBC campus this most recent game. They killed 11 of 12 Dino power plays and scored 2 goals on 9 of their own power play opportunities. To give some beginner definitions that I think I'll also just start dropping in randomly whenever remember, a power play is when a team is playing with one extra player against their opponents, when they have one or more athletes in the penalty box. Yeah, this game sounded really like a physical battle throughout the game, combining for 42 penalty minutes in total by the end. UBC took 6 penalties and Calgary committed 3 infractions in the second period alone, which says a lot about the intensity of that game. With this weekend win, the Thunderbirds, with 27 points now, have a slim 1-point lead over the Mount Royal Cougars and Alberta Pandas to earn first place in the CanWest standings currently. For men's hockey, the UBC T-Birds were able to end their 3-game losing streak with a trio of third-period goals to defend a shorthanded University of Calgary Dinos men's hockey team. Chris Douglas was the first star of the weekend with 3 goals in the 2-game set, and his third of the weekend broke a 1-1 tie. The Thunderbirds jump into second place in the CanWest division now after this win. For UBC football, the football team won their first ever Mitchell Bowl title when they defeated the St. Francis Xavier University X-Men. After this victory, they got to compete for the Vanier Cup, and despite UBC playing one of their best defensive games of the year, Montreal's defense was able to keep the Thunderbirds out of the end zone for the entire game, as the Caribbeans earned a 16-9 Vanier Cup victory at Richardson Memorial Stadium. For the most part, UBC struggled with their offense, but it's all good because this will cap their very long football season, and hopefully they can put in some work in the offseason and put in another effort next year. In other football news, fourth-year UBC Thunderbird Theo Benedet made history by receiving the JP Metras Trophy for a second straight year as U Sports' most outstanding lineman. He is also the first offensive lineman to ever earn the honor more than once. Theo has started every game for the UBC Thunderbirds since his rookie season in 2019. Another fun fact is that I actually sat next to him on a bus ride back from a track meet 2 years ago. And yeah, he's 6'7", so That's crazy. And he listens to Ice Cube. So those are my insights from that 12-hour bus ride. Finally, today we'll finish with rugby. We'll end on a positive note. The number one ranked men's UBC Thunderbirds were able to defeat Victoria Vikes in a 41-7 victory for their third straight gold medal at the Canadian University Men's Rugby Championship, which happened at Willoughby Community Park Stadium. Scoring for UBC in this championship were Alistair Marshall and Hilliard Carson with two tries each. And Callum Arneson, Jacob Bossy, and Nico Andrionos had a try each. Dakota McMillan added three conversions for the T-boards. Player of the match for this game for UBC went to Peyton Tanak, and the tournament Giddies Award went to Realmu Wilson-Valdez. Those are the updates for UBC Thunderbirds varsity teams, and now let's take a little break to listen to some of our ads and PSAs.
Do you love being caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or Grocery Checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today.
The Sweetgrass Clan is a volunteer-based coalition that provides safety, security, and essential resources to the most vulnerable members of the downtown Eastside community. In addition to providing food and safety, the Sweetgrass Clan also connects people with advocates for housing, mental health counseling, and drug and alcohol detox. The Sweetgrass Clan is always looking for new volunteers to support the downtown Eastside community and are able to offer volunteers grocery gift cards and bus tickets as honorariums. If you would like to offer your volunteer support to the Sweetgrass Clan, you can reach out via email at abfrontdoor.org or visit abfrontdoor.org.
You're listening to Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9 FM. So now we're going to get into some Canucks updates. Some recent results: the Canucks lost to the San Jose Sharks 4-3 last Saturday, but won 5-1 versus the Seattle Kraken on Friday. In the current standings, they're third in the Pacific Division with a 14-win, 7-loss, and 1 overtime loss record. They're tied with 29 points with the LA Kings. But they've played 3 extra games than them, so that could change. The best record in the league right now is from Colorado Avalanche with 15 wins and 6 losses. For Canucks player stats right now, Quinn Hughes and JT Miller are tied with 33 points from their 22 games played so far. They're tied for second leading point scorers in the league against Nikita Kucherov from Tampa Bay Lightning. Quinn Hughes also has 25 assists, which is second in the league, and Brock Besser leads the roster with 15 goals, tying him with Sam Reinhart and Nikita Kucherov at the highest goal scorers of the league so far. That's been helping the Canucks a lot. Right now, they are averaging 4 goals per game, which makes them the top goal scoring team in the league so far. You can watch the Canucks play on Thursday, November 30th. That is tomorrow at 7 p.m. The Canucks are going to be playing the Vegas Golden Knights. Next Tuesday, December 5th at 7 p.m., the Canucks are going to be playing the New Jersey Devils. And Thursday, December 7th, Canucks are going to be playing the Minnesota Wild at 7 p.m. Saturday, December 9th, the Canucks are going to be playing the Carolina Hurricanes. And December 12th, Tuesday at 7 p.m., Canucks are going to play Tampa Bay Lightning. These are all home games. There's tons in the next few weeks. So if you're able to, definitely recommend going to check out a game. Don't forget, if you're a student, you can sign up for Canucks Student Rush Program, where you can get day of and same day discounted tickets if you just sign up on the website. Those are some of the Canucks games to go check out. For UBC games to go check out, UBC students can go to our home varsity games for free, and you can get your tickets where they're required for on the UBC Thunderbirds website. Friday, December 1st, 7 p.m., the men hockey team is going to be playing University of Regina. And at 6 p.m. and then 7:45 p.m., the women's and men's volleyball teams will be playing University of Calgary. The next day, Saturday, December 2nd, 3 p.m., men's hockey versus University of Regina. And 5 and 6:45 p.m., women's, then men's volleyball teams against the University of Calgary. One of those days, I'm not sure which yet, I will be at this game. Hopefully going through the crowd and just conducting interviews and covering it for the CITR Sports Instagram account. So also, if you're not following that account, you definitely should. Now we're going to get into our interviews that I got to have earlier this week. The first one will be with Rachel Mortimer, followed by Jason from the Sport for You Project. And yeah, let's play those now. Hey everybody, I'm currently in the studio with Miss Rachel Mortimer, who is a friend of mine that I know, but also happens to be one of the highest ranking athletes on both UBC's cross country and track and field teams for the women's side. I'm super excited to be able to have this chat with you today, so thank you for joining me and agreeing to do this.
Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Statistically, the season has been going really great for both you individually and the team. What about you personally? How do you feel this season has gone so far? For you and the team, have like you met your goals individually and team, or what are you like still hoping to work on?
I feel like team-wise, we definitely like met the goal on like the men's and women's side. The women, that was like the first time we'd ever won U Sports for cross country, and then for the men, it was the first time in 30 years.
Really?
So, yeah, it was really exciting.
Oh, so is that also the women's first time in 30 years, or had they just not competed in U Sports?
They haven't been in U Sports that long because they were just in the NAIA before.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not sure how many years we've been in U Sports, but it was the first win. Yeah.
What about you individually?
Me individually, I feel like I definitely was happy overall with the season. Like, I feel like I've gotten a lot stronger over the 8K distance.
Yeah.
Even though it's, like, I wouldn't call it my specialty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just trying to, like, build my strength and use that towards track.
Was the team goal just to, like, collectively try to place highest with points overall and, like, go for the win?
Yeah, on both sides. I feel like the men were, like, they really talked about that goal a lot.
Yeah. And
the women, I feel like we didn't talk about it as much, but, like, we knew.
Do you feel like it's more individually, or, like, do you think everybody else on the team is also looking out for their own results more, or the team results more?
Well, I think if everyone can have their best day, that is going to be the best team result. So I feel like how I see it, where I want to have my best performance so the team can have the lowest score.
Like, they go hand in hand.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, knowing that you're doing it for your team kind of helps you have a better performance.
Yeah. Probably takes pressure off, too, of, like,
it doesn't, Yeah, I feel like just doing it for something, like, bigger than yourself is, like, you can always find a little more than when you're just doing it for you.
Being, like, one of the higher-ranked ones, like, within, like, top five-ish of, like, the women's roster and stuff, do you feel, like, more pressure to, like, do better to help your team?
Yeah, I definitely do. I feel like I wouldn't want to let them down by not doing what I was supposed to do.
Yeah, I think it's really important to celebrate victories as a team and individually when you perform like how you want to. But on the other side, if you feel that you didn't perform to your best ability or like had a disappointing race or result that you weren't looking for, how do you get over that or kind of deal with it or like get some perspective and carry on?
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of the sport, and you just have to kind of expect that some days it's just not going to be your best day. But I feel like when there's such a big team aspect with cross country, you can kind of use like the team win as a positive, even if you didn't feel like you did your best.
Right.
And I always find like, because I feel like our team has so much depth, and like the girls, a lot of us just like train together all the time, and on any given day it could be anyone's. Like, anyone could come out on top kind of thing. So I feel like you can take a lot of confidence from seeing what your teammates do, even if you didn't do it on that day. It's like they did it, so like perhaps a different day in the future.
Yeah, you're like happy for them and then also inspired to like try to do that yourself later.
Totally.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's really interesting too with like the difference with cross country and track. I do know track also does like have a team aspect of like your team wins with points and stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like cross country is so much more team oriented. Like they're both very individual. You're running by yourself, you're like ranked by yourself. But like points wise, I feel like cross country is so much more team wise than track.
Yeah, that's totally how I feel too. And I feel like compared to high school, even for cross country, like I didn't see it as really a team sport in high school because like I was like a team of one.
Yeah.
I feel like I've never really like experienced team sports until like coming here and doing cross country, which I never actually like expected initially. Yeah. I always just did.
What are some of the more difficult aspects to being a student athlete, specifically with cross and track as opposed to just any other sport you think?
I feel like, I mean, any sport, it's just time-consuming, and it's hard to balance, I think, but I think the hardest part for me is the recovery part of it, like, prioritizing that, because I always find myself in the dilemma of, like, oh, do I go to bed an hour early, or do I stay up and study for an hour? Yeah. It's like, I need to do both things, but, like, which one wins in the situation? Like, I don't know. Like, something gives. Like, you can't do everything, but yeah, I think that's the hardest part, and I don't know if I've even mastered that yet, but just trying to find a balance is the main thing.
Yeah, I feel like it's really different to be both mentally and physically exhausted. Like, many university students are already mentally exhausted, and then to have that and be like, and also your body's, like, taking the toll, like, nearly every day. It's, recovery's crazy.
I feel like I do prioritize it over, like, if I'm, like, stay up or study, or, sorry, go to sleep or study, I'm, like, gonna go to bed.
Yeah.
I also feel like, I don't know, like, track and cross, like, I feel like running is just, like, a very physically draining sport compared to other sports. Because, like, our practices, we, like, run, like, 20K. Yeah. Whereas, like, another sports practice is, like, it's probably not as, like, physically draining. Yeah. But I know it's still time-consuming and obviously, like, exhausting in other ways that I'm not aware of.
Like,
but
even an off day for you guys is, like, hour-long run.
Yeah.
Which is great. That's a recovery.
And it's, like, mental. Like, much of the sport is mental, and it's... Mm-hmm. And if a practice isn't going well, you get, like, the immediate feedback because it's all, like, time and, like, distance-based. Like, you know what you should be doing, and if you're not doing it, it's, like, very clear.
I've never thought of that because I feel like if it's, like, soccer or football or something, it's, like, oh, like, this pass didn't work out, but, like, I'm going to have another one in 2 seconds. Like,
yeah, and that's why some people, I think, like cross more because that takes, like, the pressure off of comparing your races so much.
Yeah, it's way less based off time, isn't it, as opposed to
like time means absolutely nothing because like all the courses are different if it's like hilly, grass, gravel, like
environment, totally rain that weather, day, whereas track is always like, well, it's gonna be the conditions change, but like distance and like surface is the same every time. It's way more like comparative,
but like taking away the time aspect of it, then I feel like people compare themselves to each other more than to themselves, because for me, like in track, I'm all about like my own personal best. I want to beat my personal best. I don't care what anyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. But in like cross, you have nothing to go off of for that. Like you're not going to compare your AK time on two different courses.
Right.
So it's like all you can do is like look at how you like line up with your teammates.
People, like I was in front of this one by this much. Yeah. And this time I'm closer. Yeah.
Which is hard, and I don't really like doing it like that.
Yeah. But because your friends, it's hard not like to. You want to obviously do well, but it's like you also want your friends to do well, but those two things can't always happen.
Exactly. So it's like it's definitely a different aspect of cross country.
How do you feel about the fact that cross country and track and field are kind of like having a constant competitive season, if that makes sense? Like it's throughout the year, so you don't really have a break. You go from like cross training to track and you're just like not constantly competing, but you do have two competitive seasons where other sports usually you just have like one and then they're off season. Like do you like that? Do you wish it was different?
No, I really do like it, honestly. I think being able to use one season to like build into the another into the other is nice. Like I feel like for me, building my strength in cross like really helps with track. So if I had a break in the middle, I'd almost feel like I'm like starting from zero each time instead of like using them to like complement each other.
Do you think track also helps cross country?
I would say less so that way, at least in the events that I do. Because at the end of the day, like you don't need to have like a lot of speed, I guess, for cross. It's more just like endurance and like sustaining a fast pace, but it's never going to be like 800 or 1500 meter pace like in a
That makes sense. Your 800 time isn't really defining what you do in an 8K race.
Yeah, like, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, but I do feel like having a nice base can help my 1500 mm-hmm. a lot, because I think I lack the strength, but I have the speed. But
yeah.
Getting more strength.
That's really impressive, though, to have, like, shorter events in track, as in, like, 8:15s, and then to still, and do that really well, and then to also go to cross country, which is 8K, and also do well there.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? Like, is your training, like, how are you so good at training both short distance and long distance?
I don't know. I think I just, like, I don't limit myself, I guess, to, like, one event. Mm. And I feel like when I was younger, I always considered myself, like, a long distance runner. I feel like that's what I was always good at. And then I also kind of, like, found success in, like, the 800. And I'm like, oh, well, I mean, I want to be doing well in both because I'm going to be competing in both. So. Yeah.
And if you can, like, it's working out.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I think I have a lot to improve on in, like, cross country and, like, those distances. But,
Do you like one more than the other? Which one do you like more, cross or track?
Track a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, why?
I just think I'm, like, better at track. But I also just, like I was saying before about the, you can compare yourself to yourself more.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, such a, I don't know, I just, like, want to see myself, like, reach my full potential, and I feel like having, like, the time goals mm-hmm. and, like, having my own progress more clearly, like, laid out in track is better for me.
How do you think the team has evolved or improved in regards to creating an inclusive environment? For those that don't know, Coach Steve Weiler has received the Coach of the Year for both men's and women's cross-country teams this year, and he's been the coach for the teams for only a couple years now. He wasn't your coach in first year, though, was he?
No.
No.
We had a different coach for, like, a very short period of time, and we, like, didn't have a coach
right.
for a while.
Yeah, I remember that. How do you feel like it's become more of an inclusive or welcoming environment, and has, like, the coach played any part in that?
I think definitely, yeah. I think Steve creates an environment where he shows how much he cares about each one of us individually, and a lot of it is outside of running. Mm. So I think he kind of sets the example of how we can treat each other and see each other as more than just teammates. Like, and I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I think we have a good dynamic on the team where we just want to see each other succeed and uplift each other, and, like, truly, like, when another person does well, we're, like, really happy for them, which is really nice, and I think that contributes a lot to our success as a team, is because we're willing to, like, work together, and in races, like, seeing each other is, like, a good thing. It's not like, oh, I need to, like, beat her to be happy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I think we use each other's strength to,
that's a wholesome answer. Yeah, and our last question, or my last question for you is, what's coming up for you and the team? What's next that you're training for or looking forward to?
The next thing for me is Nationals in Ottawa. Looking forward to that. That'll be the last cross-country race of the season. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we'll just have some base training through the winter, and then outdoor track will be early spring.
Mm-hmm.
So
any indoor season?
No indoor season. No, UBC doesn't usually compete in that. Not really sure why, but
yeah, we really don't have any good facilities, I feel like, in anywhere in Vancouver for, like,
just
indoor
have to
tracks.
Travel, I guess, and it's expensive to do.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like, I know I've heard, like, because our seasons go so late, like, we literally go until August if we want to.
Right.
It's a lot to be able to sustain, like, a good fitness for that long.
Yeah, and, like trying to peak your events at certain times.
Yeah.
How is UBC, being on the team at UBC different than being on a club team?
Like Vancouver Thunderbirds, but it's, like, literally the exact same team.
Right.
So it feels, like, absolutely no different in that sense. But, I think, like, being on a university level team, like, specifically, I think you're a lot closer to your teammates mm-hmm. than on a club team, because I feel like club teams are pretty, like, a wide range of ages, a wide range of, like, events. And, like, I remember I didn't really train with anyone. So I feel like I didn't have, like, a super, I didn't have a negative team experience, but I just didn't feel like I had a
there
huge
wasn't a
team
experience. It was, you show up with your parents, you race your own event, you go home.
Yeah. Whereas, like, with university, I just feel like you definitely are just tighter with the people mm-hmm. that you're around.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining me today and answering all my questions. Good luck in Ottawa this weekend.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, are you interested in radio? Passionate about gender issues? Want to be an active part of your community? Then join the wave and become part of CITR's Gender Empowerment Collective. Our show Intersections airs every 4 weeks, and we want your voice. We are all about empowering everyone and giving you the chance to speak your mind. There's no experience necessary. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, or email us at genderempowerment@citr.ca.
All right, I'm here today with Jason from the Sport for You Project, which is a student initiative whose mission is to give everyone in the community a chance to participate in sport. Hi, Jason. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing with the listeners everything that has to do with your project. I'll let you introduce yourself, and then you can share a bit about the project.
Cool. Thanks, Nanaki. Mm-hmm. My name's Jason, and I'm a fourth-year kin student here at UBC. And I started the Sport for You Project with my friend Cameron. In September of 2021, we had received a student initiative fund, so we're one of many fantastic projects of that year's student initiative fund. And our goal, like Nanaki said, is to provide everyone with a chance to participate in sport. And
What year were you in when you started that? That was 2021.
Yeah, so I had the idea at the end of my first year. Okay. So in the second year is when I started it. That was 2021 was my second year.
When did you hear about the initiative and how?
It was at the end of first year. Okay. I saw it on Instagram, and then I DM'd Cameron, and then we went from there and submitted an application.
Nice. Where'd you come up with the name? I'm just curious.
Oh, so this is an interesting story. So it was in, we're in Ponderosa residence with Cameron over the summer. It was summer going into second year, and we spent a whole day thinking of names. And we have a Google Doc, maybe 2 pages, just full of random names that are variations of Sport for You. We didn't even settle on a name yet, and then we went on Canva and looked at some logos, and that the graphic of the logo kind of led us to choose Sport for You. It just seemed like it fit well in there.
Yeah, also four and you is good, because you can just put like a number and a letter, and it like says what it needs to say.
Exactly, it keeps it short.
Yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit more about what the KUS Student Initiative Fund is?
Yeah, so the KUS Student Initiative Fund is a certain amount of money allocated from the School of Kinesiology, which allows the KUS to give funding to student-led projects.
Oh, okay.
So I know other than our project, there's a couple others in the year that I got funding. Mm-hmm. One of them, I forget the name of it. I think it was called Valencia. It's led by one of my old classmates, too. Yeah. And they did healthcare translation. So
cool.
They kind of addressed the language barrier within healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I know some other people created some like exercise tools for like pediatric physiotherapists.
Right.
I saw that was
and
an
that's
idea.
And that's every year they give out.
I'm not sure if they
funding.
Did it this year, but I know a year after I got the funding, they also did it as well.
And there's just an application?
Yeah, so the application was, it wasn't too extensive, but there is a written application, and then there's a group interview with, I think, the Student Initiative Fund Committee, I believe, as well as the KUS president, who at the time was Annika in the second year.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So anybody that's listening that has an idea for something, you can get funding for it and make your dreams a reality. That's really cool.
And if the Student Initiative Fund isn't ongoing in the KUS, there is also funding through UBC. I know they have more larger scale kind of funding for initiatives like that.
Oh, nice.
That's something I looked into.
Yeah,
because I only got funding for one round.
Okay.
So
every
not,
year are you reapplying through the UBC one?
I don't reapply myself because the project doesn't take too much money.
Okay.
I had all the materials from the first round.
Yeah, nice.
So I've got enough for the near future.
What made you decide to do this with your initiative fund? Were there other ideas you and Cam were thinking about? Or what made you want to do this?
I did something similar, much smaller, in high school.
Oh, okay.
And when I saw that the Student Initiative Fund was opened, I had this original idea, but I knew I couldn't do it alone. So I reached out to Cameron, and We wanted to do a similar thing with gear donation boxes and making sport accessible and inclusive, similar to what we learned in class as kinesiology students. So I think combining more of that knowledge we learned in class and being able to make an impact on the community was something that was important to both Cameron and I.
Yeah. How long has the initiative been going on for, and how's it been going, like, each year? Does it develop, change? Has it been the same?
Yeah, so this is our third school year of doing it. Every year it's grown quite a bit. The first year, I can't remember like how many pieces of equipment we got, but it grew probably 3 or 4 times.
Really?
And now we've gotten, to date, it's probably a little over 500 pieces of sports equipment collected and donated.
Yeah.
So, yeah, every year it's gotten quite a bit bigger. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram's improved vastly thanks to Kiana. Shout out Kiana if you're listening to this. And also with the help of Gabby McKenzie, who've helped with communications and our storage.
Yeah. I mean, you get more people, you can do more.
Exactly,
that makes sense.
Yeah. As we've grown a bit, even with Cameron up in Prince George for medical school, we can still manage and do a lot more every year. So it's been great.
Where are the donation boxes, and then where does it go donated to?
Yeah, so we have, this year we have 3 donation boxes. One at the UBC Sports Center, so it's the big hockey rink. It's in the pro shop there. The second one is in Westbrook Community Center in Westbrook Village. And then the third one is at Old Barn Community Center. It's right beside Being Around the World, close to the forestry building on campus.
Right.
So those are the 3 we have this year. Last year, we had them kind of spread out a bit across Metro Vancouver, but this year we focused on our hot spots that have previously gotten us the most donations.
Right. And where does it get donated to?
So over the years, we've worked with kind of the same organizations whose values align with ours.
Yeah.
So a big one was KidSafe. They run after-school programs for kids in the downtown east side. And those are kind of the most resilient kids in our community. And we donate the equipment that we have collected directly to their families as well as to their youth programs. Mm-hmm. So with their youth programs, we give them, like, soccer balls. We've given bikes and other, like, pennies and cones. And the equipment that the kids particularly like, they get to take home.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah.
And another big one is Kids Sport. So they have their annual gear drive, and we allocate a certain amount of equipment to donate to them. And their goal is very similar to ours, to give everyone a chance to participate in sport. And the other ones are Kids Physio Group, the Fraser location. We have also a certain amount of equipment allocated for their clients and other families who might be in need. So through that system, we have families who directly reach out to us and schedule kind of gear pickup or meetups. And then sometimes we do get like an excess of jerseys and kind of pennies. So we have big brothers and sisters of Greater Vancouver who we donate those items to.
Nice. Yeah, that's great. Also, because, like, hockey especially, I think you play hockey, right?
Yeah, I used to play,
like,
hockey.
Equipment is so expensive for, I mean, nearly every sport, but hockey is, like, the main one I could think of, especially because it's, like, really popular in Vancouver. Like, it's so expensive.
Definitely.
So that's really great. What kind of equipment can people donate?
Yeah, so you can donate any lightly used sports equipment. There's no limit or restrictions to what type of sport the equipment is for. For example, in the past, most of our gear has been hockey equipment. I think that's driven by our donation box and the hockey rink on campus.
Right.
But currently we are looking for, like, soccer cleats, basketball shoes, court shoes. Hockey gear is always welcome. I know a lot of the kids we donate to like to play street hockey and soccer, basketball, and football. A lot of outdoor field sport equipment would be something we'd love to receive and donate to others.
Nice. How can people contribute and help out?
Donating is the best way you can help out sport for you. Another way is just to spread the word. Obviously, because our donation boxes are very localized to the UBC community, spreading the word to the whole Metro Vancouver, whoever you know who might have lightly used sports equipment to donate, would be super helpful, because the more donations we get, the bigger impact we can make on our community.
For sure. How can people reach out or find out more about the initiative?
Yeah, so our Instagram and our email are our most popular I guess, platforms. So yeah. You can DM us on Instagram at sportforyouproject, or you can send us an email as well. It's sportforyouproject@gmail.com. But yeah, you can ask us any questions about the project, what you can donate, mm-hmm. what you can't. People in the community regularly send us an email or a DM when they're in need of certain sports equipment, or if they just have, you know, an inquiry about what they can donate.
Nice. What are any, like, future goals or plans for this initiative? Where would you like to see this potentially go?
Yeah, so we're working with some organizations to kind of expand mm-hmm. the population that we donate to. So previously, a lot of our donations have gone to various families across Vancouver and a lot to the downtown Eastside community.
Yeah.
But I know, for example, some students on campus, you know, access to sport equipment to participate in intramurals, for example, or just to play on the field mm-hmm. can be a barrier to mm-hmm. physical activity. So we're hoping to maybe work with like UBC Rec or other organizations on campus to help students try out sports or just to get moving, because mm-hmm. you know, we know as kin students studies really take over our lives.
Yeah, and, for sure.
Yeah. It can be a great benefit to all of us if we can have some sports equipment to play with. Mm-hmm. And
just expand, like, the demographic that you donate to and gets access to resources. That's awesome.
Thanks to the Student Initiative Fund from 2021. Because for sure, this project wouldn't be possible without that. And
the jumpstart.
Exactly. And, you know, to Cameron, Gabby, Kiana, and Mackenzie, you guys have helped so much to make this project possible. And, you know, we've made a great impact on our community and hope to do that for a long time.
Yeah, the initiative is so great. Everybody should check it out and donate whatever you can. Thank you so much, Jason, for joining me today and telling us about your initiative.
Yeah, thank you, Nanaki.
Hey there. Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're going to love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life, a sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
You're listening to Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9 FM. Thanks again to Rachel and Jason for having those interviews with me. So now we're going to move on to our last little segment for the episode today, which is Sport Media of the Week, but it's bi-weekly. So today's episode, I've chosen to showcase the most recent sports movie I watched, which was Gran Turismo. This movie came out on July 30th, earlier this year, 2023, and I got to go watch it with my brother in New York on the last day of our family vacation in August, which was super awesome. The film stars Archie Madekwe as main character Jan Martinborough, alongside David Harbour and Orlando Bloom, which, for me, were two very shocking actors to see on the screen that I did not know were going to be a part of this movie. It's based on a true story where a teenage Gran Turismo player wins a competition to become a professional race car driver. I won't give the plot away too much, but there's basically complications with his team and the Nissan company. And it's basically a story about underdogs, and who doesn't love an underdog? I personally really like this movie. As someone who really doesn't know much about racing or F1 or any competitive car sport, I was so into this movie and on the edge of my seat the whole time, and I would really recommend it. I rated it a 7.5 out of 10 on my movie scale, and I believe my brother said a 5 or 6 out of 10, but he's a tougher critic than me, so... a fun fact, this movie has been in the works for 10 years for when the producers first began working on it, as well as the real Jan Martinborough, who the movie is based off of. He plays a stunt double in the film for the actor who portrays himself. So that's really cool. He got to be in his own movie. Today, I wanted to play a couple tracks that stood out to me from this movie when I was watching, and they're from the soundtrack or are like inspired and in this movie. We're going to start with Songbird by Kenny G, which was released in 1986. And in the movie, Kenny G is kind of the artist that the main character loves to listen to and calm down and ground himself. There's some really funny scenes in the movie where it's a really hectic event going on, a race or something, and there's just the most soothing jazz music saxophone playing in the background to contrast that. And then the second song that is going to play after that one is going to be Hold My Head by Kenny Beats, which was released last year in 2022. So we're going to do two Kennys tonight. The Hold My Head is the opening song for the movie that I immediately added to my playlist and have still been listening to since. So I hope you enjoy the two songs they're going to play from the Gran Turismo soundtrack, Songbird by Kenny G and Hold My Head by Kenny Beats. And that will be all for our episode today. Thank you so much for listening. You can continue to tune in every other Wednesday at 8 p.m. And don't forget, you can also listen to this and all the previous episodes on the archives on CITR.ca. This was Thunderbird Eye on CITR 101.9 FM.
think he Kenny Beans, bro?